Exodus chapter 30, starting at verse number 1. We've been looking at the tabernacle for the past several weeks, and we are continuing that journey this morning. Exodus chapter 30 says, "Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain, that is before the Ark of the Testimony, before the atonement cover, that is over the testimony, where I will meet you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord." One thing we know when we finish our last bites of leftover turkey or one day old pie, one thing we know is that it is officially Christmas season. Let's not get fooled by Sunny 95 playing Christmas music like a month ago, or stores like Walmart setting up their Christmas displays in August. This is the Christmas season. And there's so many reminders of the season. There are, of course, the sales. There are, of course, the lights. And there are, of course, the smells. Eggnog, cinnamon, gingerbread, Christmas potpourri, warm vanilla, and pine trees. It's not that we don't smell some of these smells during the rest of the year. It's just that when you smell these scents, you know it's Christmas time. I've got a bag of scented pine cones up here. And if you're sitting close to the front, you probably can smell the cinnamon. If we were allowed to enter the holy place of the tabernacle, as we pass the table of showbread on the right and the golden lampstand on the left, we would approach the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. Directly in front of the veil was a gold altar. It was the altar of incense. Upon this altar, the priests were given the command to burn a special mixture of spices, gum resin or stacte, which was an extract from myrrh, onycha and galbanum, and pure frankincense. The burning of this mixture or incense would fill the temple with smoke and an aroma. This aroma God received as an offering. It was holy and special. This special mixture of spices was so sacred, as it was commanded not to be used for anything else except in the tent of meeting. The smell from this mixture would permeate in the tent and perhaps could escape into the outer courts. And if you're close enough, you might even be able to get a whiff. It was a powerful smell, and it was a powerful representation of the presence of God. He was present, and he was there to receive this memorial from his people. Now, most everyone attests to the fact that the presence of incense was a way to illustrate prayer. David wrote in one of the Psalms, Psalm 141, O Lord, I call to you, come quickly to me, hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. God has always desired holy interaction with his people. This interaction is special. It is holy. It is sacred. Do you consider your time with God special? I want you to know that so does the Lord. Prayer is one of the occurrences that both God and us hold dear to our hearts. When you pray, don't just think obligation. Don't just think, I need some stuff. Don't think, bow my head, close my eyes, and end in Jesus' name or he won't hear it. No, instead understand that your God wants you to pray. Your God is moved when you pray. Your God desires to be with you in prayer. Prayer is your special opportunity to be with your Father for some you time. And he always has time for you. I want you to think about that and meditate upon that for a moment. That God always has time for you. You know, there are times when my children want to do things with me. And Dad says, oh, in a minute, I've got to do this. I've got to go do this. I promise I'll do that with you after a while. And sometimes after a while comes and we run out of time and we don't get to that. Yeah, and there are times that it pains me when I look at my daughter's faces and I see the disappointment when they realize that I didn't have time for them. Not so with the Father. Not so with God. He always has time. I love my daughters, and I long for special times with them. And honestly, there should be more, and I want to have more special times with my girls. And I want my girls to want to have special time with me. Is it a far-reaching thought to think that the Lord desires for us to have the same desire he has? Is it a far thought to realize that as much as we want to spend time with God, that God wants to spend time with us? When we reflect on our prayer time, we often speak of how we are robbing ourselves of deeper experiences we could have in prayer. Have we ever considered that we are equally robbing God of an experience of intimacy with us? We might justify it by saying he has millions of others to spend time with. Let's not talk about others. Let's talk about you and me. God desires to be with you and me. Let's not rob him of this experience. God desires our prayers. Again, Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 7 says, Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. And commanding the Israelites to build this golden altar where incense would be burned and sent up as a memorial, God was indeed declaring his desire to receive the prayers of the Israelites. I want my daughters to know that I want them to talk to me. I want them to communicate with me. The Lord wants his people to call out to him and talk to him and pray to him. I want my daughters to realize and understand they can come to me and tell me anything or almost anything. I'm just not waiting for them to say, I'm about to get married, Dad. I'm not ready for that. I don't know how to shoot a gun properly yet, you know. God accepts our prayers. He accepts our prayers not because we have so delicately crafted our words in a better way than others. In reality, church, we struggle with what to say in prayer. Paul talks about this in Romans in chapter 8. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will, so that we don't build up confidence in our own prayer styles and forms. Know this, there is something going on in the spiritual realm. Our lack of an adequate vocabulary or uniform formula is met with the work of the Holy Spirit that takes our request to the Father. And even more, there is Jesus himself at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. Later on in that same chapter, verse number 31, Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. How many times have we asked Jesus to pray for us? We know that God is listening to Jesus, amen? So how come we don't ask Jesus pray for us? We know that God hears and receives our prayers because of the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, not because we have a formula memorized. So why don't we pray? If we had an altar of incense in here, would that prompt us to pray? Perhaps for some of us that would work. If we had regularly scheduled times of prayer, would that prompt us to pray? That would work for some. If we called for a special time of prayer from time to time, would that prompt us to pray? For some of us, that would work. I'm here to say that no gimmicks or program can replace an embodiment of the importance of intimacy with God. The Israelites had to embrace the richness and beauty of the golden altar and the Lord's declaration of his holiness, sacredness, importance, and necessity in the communal life of Israel. For us to mimic that embrace, we have to come to grips with this reality, that God desires for us to pray. Intimacy was always God's desire. From the initial moments in the garden where God walked with Adam and Eve, to visions of John in Revelation from chapter 5, where he writes his vision, writing what he was watching unfold in front of his eyes. He wrote, and where he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Do you see that God wants to be with us? Do you see that God wants to be intimate with us? A study of the tabernacle and prayer might unintentionally lead us down a path toward form tweaking and formation implementing. I received a letter from an individual who is in a rehab facility. They're addicted to drugs, and they're going through treatment. They wrote me a letter just telling me that they were getting better and that they were recommitting their lives to Christ. And then the letter took, for me, a disturbing turn, where the person started to write and ask me a question. She says, I want you to teach me how to pray. I need you to teach me how to pray because I'm afraid that the way I pray isn't reaching God. And if I don't pray the right way, I'm going to go to hell. That was an unfortunate twist for me because she was only speaking from what she was taught. And some of us have been taught that if we pray the right way, God will hear. But if we pray the wrong way, didn't Paul say we don't know what we're saying? That's why the Spirit is there to help us. So when we look at the tabernacle and we look at all the specifications, we look at all the uniqueness and you know, how God was so specific, there may be a temptation for us to think that we need to tweak our forms and tweak the formation and make sure that is right and correct, or God is not going to accept it. But here's the deal. God will accept it in Jesus. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus has already done. On the contrary to form tweaking and formation implementing, I'm asking us to do, what I'm asking us to do is really akin to becoming like children. Having a desire to spend intimate time with our Father. We get so wrapped up in trying to provide so many things for our children, providing them toys and the latest fashions. But I think deep down what our children really want, and they even speak it, and sometimes we ignore it, they just want our presence. They just want us to show up to the concert. They just want us to sit down with them and watch Barbie cartoons. They just want our presence. I'm asking us to be like children. But the initial thing that we desire of God is not money, and not good health. That's, if you want to ask him for that stuff, that's okay. But initially, just ask God for his presence. What I'm asking us to do is to just be like children. If we become like children, I think our prayers might resemble a little more honesty. They'll be more bold. Watch this video, which contains real prayers from kids. Thank you. I think if we become like children, as much as we laugh, some of our prayers would resemble some of those simple questions. We have a lot of questions we don't understand. We think that it's beneath God to acknowledge some of the questions that we have, some of the confusion that we have, or some of the messes that we have, or that God has too much on his plate to dare address some of these little things. You know, God, I'll ask you for the big things. You know, take care of the country, take care of the world, take care of that person with cancer, but that stuff I'm dealing with at work, you don't have time for that. No, when we become like children, nothing is off the table. I'm not asking us to form, tweak, or build more formulas. I'm asking us to be like children. This morning, on the golden altar of incense, I want us to replace the spice mixture and lay our lives on the altar. May our lives be a living mixture offered to God. May it be a sweet aroma to the Father. May our lives be a living prayer placed on the golden altar. In Jesus, we have been given the freedom to abandon time and space. We don't have to wait for the evening or the next morning. We are not confined to a tabernacle. We are free. We're free to live a prayer, free to be intimate with the Father. So right now and right here can be prayer time. And know this, more than the right words, he wants the right heart, a heart that knows him, a heart that trusts him, and a heart that wants to be with him. So know this. Maybe you have the words and maybe you don't. The Holy Spirit is ready right now to intercept and take over. And Jesus is ready to plead with you and for you. So just pray.
Pray to the Lord. Pray to him while he can be found, for he is near us whenever we pray. His eyes open, his ears attentive, listening to what is said in hearts and whispers. When tears fall down cheeks in silence, when no words can be said but thank you, according to his compassion, according to his kindness and his great love, he is our dwelling place. So cry aloud, call on him, bowed on bended knees, confess sins, offer petitions, watch and pray. Find your own mountainside, your own Garden of Gethsemane. Pray in lonely places when things are good and not so good. Pray for those who are unable to pray for themselves. Stand guard, mind your post, stand on the wall in the gap as words lifted to God build bridges to nations. Prayers are seeds planted, even if you never get to see them grow. God is the gardener, paying close attention to the soil of prayers lifted for generations yet to be born. In the place of prayer is where peace can be found, and we may not know how or why, but know who. And when you are spent of words to pray, he prays for you, taking all the things you can't give voice to, surrendering them at the feet of one who is all powerful, whose words extend past time, whose love is so wide and deep that it is immeasurable. Pray and don't give up. Pray earnestly. Raise your voice and quiet your soul that God may dwell in your heart. Pray when you're anxious. Pray when you're afraid. Be watchful and thankful. Pray continually. Pray to the Father, to a God who is faithful, to a God who hears. Cry out for the living God.
So let's take the spice mixture off of the golden altar of incense. Let's place our lives there. As we are offering up this fragrance, our lives, as we are experiencing intimacy with God. What people will smell, what they will smell, it's not cinnamon, it's not frankincense, it's not myrrh. It will be the very aroma of Christ. What would happen to the world around us if what was flowing from our lives was the intimate relationship we had with God? Why don't we test God on that? Why don't we test Him in this? Giving our lives fully and wholly to God and committing to become like children and desiring to be with Him, desiring to pray to Him and not just to speak but also to listen. Offer our lives on the golden altar of incense that we might give off the sweet smell of the aroma of Christ. This is my challenge for you. This is my challenge for myself. Not just to pray more, but to become a life of prayer. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Jesus, who demonstrated for us so vividly the importance and the power of spending time with You and being intimate with You. So God, we collectively today lay in our lives on the golden altar of incense. God, we are offering our living prayer to You as a sweet aroma. Father, we pray that You would receive this sacrifice. We pray that You would receive this aroma. God, we just want to be with You. We want to experience time and closeness and intimacy with You, our Father. God, I pray that that sweet, savory aroma that is emitted from this sacrifice would escape our own circle, would escape this community and begin to permeate all throughout, that it would permeate at work, that it would permeate at schools and in our homes. Father, we want to be with You. And we thank You for the power and the blessing of prayer. And we thank You that because Jesus Christ offered a sacrifice once and for all, that we can now come to You boldly, frequently, as many times as we like. Father, we offer You this morning our lives as a living prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If the church can pray for you, if the church can be thinking about you for the rest of the week, if there's something that we can do to communicate to you that God is alive, that He is active, and that He is ready to be an active participant in your life, if you let Him. If you just like to say yes to Him, if you desire intimacy with God and you're just struggling with what that means, I want you to talk about it with somebody. That might take place right now. That might take place after we leave. That's fine. If you're not a Christian, you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, becoming a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, and you want to talk more about that, we would love to do that. If you've talked about that and you're ready to make some steps in that direction, you make that publicly known by a profession of faith and baptism into Jesus Christ, we can also provide that ministry for you as well. Let's stand and let's sing this song.